Monday night, and you are listening to Neurodiversity Radio on the Authentic You Radio Network. My name is Heather McRae, and I am the world's first and only neurodiversity coach. Neuro is of the brain, diversity, difference, brain difference. I coach different thinkers. You can find out all about what I do at processdifferently.com. I also have a blog at heathermcrae.wordpress.com. And we'd love for you to call in tonight. We have two numbers you can call in with. We have an 1-877-296-0345 or 1-917-889-3818. Good evening. It is Monday night. Did we all make it through the day okay? I don't know about you guys, but I made a commitment to myself a long time ago to rethink my way through Mondays. And every once in a while, I have a day that's just kind of hectic and draining, and things, you know, don't go the way I want them to. But that just kind of happens, doesn't it? So I'm going to encourage you to join me for a minute, and let's just take three deep breaths in through our nose, out through our mouth, just to get centered and calm and be here tonight, because we're going to have a really neat show, and I'm looking forward to sharing my friend Wendy with you. Let's do three deep breaths in through our nose, out through our mouth. One more. Last one. Well, I don't know about you guys, but that helped me. I can tell you, as an adult with ADHD, I'm pretty successful with it, but I do have days like today when I was both overwhelmed and overwhelming. I can be very overwhelming to my friends because when I get, you know, I'm very much a morning person right now, and I get up in the morning, I get my cup of coffee, and then my brain starts going, and then I have all these wonderful ideas, and sometimes I end up bombarding people with them. And, you know, I think that's what journals are best for. And you know, I wouldn't trade having ADHD for anything, because it's really being an open channel to the universe and having so much out there to hear and to listen to. And the real trick that I have found, and even though it sounds like a non sequitur for somebody with ADHD to be able to meditate, believe me, it is actually possible. And I found that this afternoon when I was able to take 20 minutes to pray and meditate and just kind of get calmed and centered, it really, really shifted my day. And I can't encourage that enough. And part of neurodiversity is embracing the fact that we are square pegs that don't belong in, we're round pegs that don't belong in square holes. We don't do boxes. We are just very different thinkers. And in alignment with that, I like to do different things. And prayer and meditation is a really good, it's been a really good substitute for me for ADHD medication, because I don't take it anymore. I'm so glad to be here tonight. I get to share with you all one of my best friends in the whole wide world, and that is the Reverend Dr. Wendy Walker. She is not that formal at all, but that's actually my, that's what I call her when I'm telling her I love her, is a hello, Reverend Dr. Wendy Walker. I've known Wendy since like 2002, and she is absolutely one of the smartest people I have ever met. And she is the only personal alchemy coach. And she shared with me just some amazing feedback that she got from some clients recently that I want to share with you. And one of them said was that, and this is speaking in reference to Wendy's work with her, I've never met anyone who is as educated in her field. You are articulate. Wendy made her client feel safe to talk about personal issues in a culture that discourages psychological introspection and investigation. And she helped her client see the bigger, more objective picture, as in they're not out to get me, but what can I learn from this, and to recognize life patterns. And she helped this client and these clients to give and receive forgiveness and acceptance. And let's face it, for a lot of people, that's a big deal. I don't know about you, but I didn't exactly come from the most functional family in the world. And, you know, a big piece of forgiveness is not only forgiving other people, but forgiving yourself for the junk you bought into. And I can tell you, Wendy's background in spirituality and study is just amazing. She's a She's been a certifying Reiki master since 1988 and co-founder of the Reiki Foundation and creator of the Luminous Joy Network. And Wendy has 38 years of research and training behind her practice, and she is just one of the smartest, most gifted people. And one of the things you may not know about Dr. Walker that I just love is that she did have a really great film and cabaret and theater career and was in a Stephen King movie, which I just think is awesome. Wendy, are you there?
I'm here.
Right. And I didn't scare you away with the Stephen King reference, so I'm doing all right.
No, it just made me laugh.
Well, I am
so
pleased.
You mentioned another thing. I knew you would go there.
Well, my dear, I had to. So since you and I obviously could talk till the cows come home, and our time is limited, which is sad to me because, you know, I could talk to you all night, why don't we talk, why don't we get right to it? What, talk to me about personal alchemy.
Okay, I'd be glad to. It's something that I've arrived at over a long time of working with energy and studying it and working with clients and using it myself because I needed it first of all. When I was young, I was just very, very sensitive from the time I was born and in a way that made it difficult to fit in. And no matter how hard I tried, I just didn't. You know, I got to the point where I could manage a lot better, and now I look like I fit in if I want to. But there's always stuff going on in my brain that if people could hear it, they'd know that I don't fit in. Except now I think it's a good thing because I actually get to see and experience and just I have an awareness of a lot of levels of what's going on in any moment. So personal alchemy coaching. Alchemy is the ancient science of turning lead or base metals into gold. And it's a very mysterious, mythical sort of thing. But it's a wonderful principle, and it, you know, it has to do with transmutation, transmuting things from one thing into another. And usually when you think of that, you think of it being something not so good into something really, really good. So personal alchemy coaching is where we uncover your personal blueprint, and then you use that to transform yourself into gold, to transform yourself, to transform your life. When you transform yourself, you do transform your life ultimately, because changing yourself means that you're going to behave differently in everything that you see and think and do. Your reactions will change. Your ability to create can change. What you thought of as your limitations and boundaries can shift dramatically. But you get empowered to choose and open up your thinking and make whatever changes you really want to make. I just help guide people in the process of mastering their ability to be personal alchemists.
I just love the way you said that, Wendy, because the way it's just so empowering that you let people know that they are turning themselves into gold and that you're not the magician doing it for them. And I feel like that's really new paradigm, because in the old way of thinking, everybody is looking for somebody else to save them. And one of your real gifts, because you and I have shared, you know, we're like war buddies. We've shared so much together that I know that is really your gift, is helping people save themselves. And you know, you and I have had so many wonderful conversations where you've helped me unclog pores and just, you know, read your thinking and stuff. Yeah, and you know, I can vouch that is absolutely one of your gifts. And you know, I think it's really cool that when I, you know, got hooked on neurodiversity, that you and I were able to kind of really talk about that.
And I really, really got so much out of talking about it, and not just talking about it while you were creating it the way that you have. It gave me bits and pieces of information that filtered into my thinking process, and it gave me a new way of relating to what I do, you know, which was really exciting and has been very rich. I have to say I've been extremely blessed over the years to have had a number of incredible people, women friends, who were coaches or teachers or very, very awake, vibrant sort of people. And what we loved the most was to have a conversation like this And that's what we did in our downtime, you know. So I've learned from that over the years. It's been helpful to me as a person, as an individual. It's been helpful to my work, and I've just learned so much from it. So getting to do that with you is just a continuation of it, and I'm glad you're there. It's been wonderful, and it continues to be.
Me too. I laugh all the time because I'm the way my brain works. You and I are just kind of in a constant flow of conversation, and sometimes you get mad at me because you're like, wait a minute, I wasn't there for that part. Even in your head, I was.
Well, trying to skip ahead and view your brain from a higher level so I can keep up with it is a challenge sometimes. I have to admit.
You know, it's funny that you said that, Wendy, because when we were speaking yesterday, the day before, one of the things that we talked about that's also a really cornerstone of what you do is you are, we were talking about your relationship to the hierarchy of light.
Mm-hmm.
And your specific you have very specific tools in terms of working with folks and connecting with archetypes.
Well, what I'd like to do is mention my website because my website's called luminousjoy.com, and I call it that because it was the best description I could come up with for what that light feels like.
Mm-hmm.
That light is so vital to my life, and I started experiencing it when I was really young, 4 or 5 years old, maybe even younger. And as I look back, you know, I can see the thread of it, and I think it was sort of gradually calling to me, waking me up all along. I came to realize that it was an experience, I think, of divinity, of the connection to God, of the connection to our own more vast self on the inner planes, the higher planes, where we are huge beings that have capacities we don't even understand or imagine as human beings. And yet we all are connected to that, which is why everyone does their own transformation, but having a guide and a coach and a support system really makes a huge difference. I certainly needed my coaches and support system. Experiencing the light is not always going to fall right in somebody's lap, but I think it comes more and more. It's not something you try to do. It's something that sort of occurs when you get more and more aligned with yourselves. And I say selves because there are many aspects to who we are. You know, we have a physical body, but we also have our emotional reactions, and we have mental reactions, how we think about things, our belief systems, and then, of course, we have our higher spiritual stuff, and sometimes those are going in different directions. oftentimes, people's hearts and heads are not really in agreement about stuff, you know, and that's when you see a life that's chaotic and messy, and you know, you want to go one way one day and then the other way the next day, and you really can't make up your mind. And maybe you try to include some of each, and then you just really get into situations that you wish you were not in. I have done this personally, so I know whereof I speak. But I think it's part of the human condition.
I have never had that experience ever, as you know.
Well, you're so pristine in your living that we won't accuse you of anything. But, you know, we're all in this together. We all have stuff. And the light is always there. That's the great thing about it. It's if I go into meditation, if I just get still for a few minutes, even using those three breaths, you know, that's something I've done for years. It's so simple and so easy. And you can just get still. Once you know how to observe those pieces of your puzzle, you know, your aspects, once you learn to be aware of them and you're in communication with them and that becomes sort of a natural thing, it's not hard to say, hey, everybody, let's stop for a minute and just be still and get aligned and get together. And once you learn to do things like that, that's a major skill, I think. It becomes very easy, and you sort of tune in and say, is this right for me or not? And you can make a decision that's informed and healthy and on track for what you really want in your bigger picture, you know. So that's one way that it's really useful and really important. The coaching and the light, they're all part of the same thing. I mean, it's all about getting to your own personal joy, which comes from you know, that alignment and living who you really are. If you're aligned, you know, then you can be in your truth and you can express who you really are. And I think that's when people are the happiest. I loved acting when I was younger. I loved it. I loved it like nothing else for many, many
years. You're so good at it, Wendy. You're so good at it.
Well, thank you. And dancing and singing and being silly in public, you know, it was a
yeah.
wonderful thing.
yeah.
And but it was what I realized is the essence of that was for me was about just full on self expression. There's a joy in that, you know. Whether you're an artist or an architect or an engineer or a nurse or a mom, I mean, it doesn't matter. There's a joy to be found in anything that you do with full commitment and focus. If it touches your heart and it's really expressing part of your essence, then there's joy in it. And usually, joy and light have a connection once you sort of get a little more attuned to it. But I have a feeling that a lot of the people who listen to your show are going to be the people who easily relate to this because their brains are already a bit different, you know? They may not have the skills. They may not have been taught about this, and they may have very different labels, you know?
Yeah.
Labels are so important, don't you think?
Yeah. If anything, you're both screaming away from them once you find out what they are. Yeah.
Yeah, and people react very badly to, you know, being called psychic, or they think ESP means something out of The Exorcist, you know, or one of those horrible Hollywood movies where houses turn green and then explode and, you know, white ghosty things ooze down the walls and then put their hands around your throat. I mean, that's just not very real. You know, what actually happens with ESP is, you know, you can sort of feel what kind of mood your partner is in before you're even in the same room. That's ESP. It's not really extrasensory perception. It's extended sensory perception. It's an extension of your natural sense, your natural awareness. It just reaches a little farther than you expect it to. And you know, the truth is we all do that all the time. We just don't call it that. But I learned this a long time ago. When you start to call it that and play with it, you see that you're doing it a lot more than you thought you were, and that when you focus on it and trust it some, you get even better at it. And it gets stronger and stronger, and then it's one of your tools. It's a wonderful tool. But that sensitivity can really be in the way when you don't know how to use it. You just sort of feel and hear a lot of stuff that's subtle, and it comes at you, and it makes you uncomfortable, and you don't know where it came from or whose it is, and it can be make you depressed or anxious or want to just hide from everybody, you know? Because you don't understand what's going on.
Yeah.
I think neurodiversity, I think there are a lot of people having those experiences, but, you know, they would never think of it as psychic stuff. And in a way, I don't
sure.
either. I think of it as very natural, normal stuff.
Yeah. I agree with you. And you know what, Wendy, I really appreciate that you brought that up because there are a lot of people who, you know, relate to the title of psychic children, and there are a lot of kids who see, hear, and know stuff and don't understand it, and then they get freaked out by it, and their parents get freaked out by it, and everybody wants to medicate everybody, and, you know.
Absolutely.
Dull it down rather than safely exploring it to see what it actually means.
Yeah, I think there's a huge need for educated coaches, counselors, teachers in society today, because younger people have stronger abilities, I think, with each generation. And when you know who you are, if you come in as a young one and you're even more connected to the soul, but you are in a tiny body and you don't have any power in terms of what you get to do in your life, you know, or understanding where you are in relationship to other people, you know, you sort of have to do what you're told and learn the language, and it goes against your own autonomy, your own empowerment, you know, in a way.
Yeah.
And I think that's one
yeah.
of the reasons that kids are so stubborn and act out. They're so willful. It's that they're very strong beings, and it goes against the grain to be told. And that really is that's a tough one, you know. That's really a tough one because they still have to be in these bodies and be human. So,
That's a good point, because I've coached a lot of parents with their kids, and I've had to say, look, you know, what we were parented with does not work with these children. You have to be more of a guide and more of a mentor. Do the boundaries have to be there? Absolutely. But the thing is, you have to let the kids make the decisions and just give them choices.
Right.
Because if they're not empowered, they're going to shut down. And if they shut down, you don't want to go there because they're so sensitive.
Yeah, shutting down or being medicated or finding some other way to numb out a little bit to deal with it. You know, getting lost in video games or television or food or, you know, any number of whatever the usual suspects are on that list of ways we have of escaping, you know. It's all a defense mechanism. It's just a defense mechanism. And we live in a culture that doesn't really understand a lot of this stuff. One of my dreams is to live in a world where people are taught these things when they're kids and they understand it as being just a natural part of their equipment as a human being, you know. And so it's not something out there. It's something that's very naturally inside themselves. And they learn the skills growing up and they get to use them. And it's just, you know, innate. But as things are, people have, like you said, people have a tremendous amount of fear. And I think that comes from partly from religious beliefs, partly from movies, partly from a lack of education. You know, there's a lot of unnecessary fear, but just because it's unknown territory.
Oh, I completely agree with you. I have I work with young children as young as 4, and I've done, you know, chakra meditations with them where I just to get them calm. And it doesn't have anything to do with anybody doing anything wrong. It's just, you know, it's just a way for them. It's a way for them to feel empowered and to understand that they're still connected with the light. So I actually used a meditation tool with a young client I had tonight, who's a 9-year-old girl. She's a sweetheart, but she can be just off the chain. And for me, it's not an issue of, you know, it's a little bit. It's a little bit like how I get with you because, well, actually with all my friends, because I can be so enthusiastic and, you know, excited about what my brain's coming up with in terms of brainstorming and stuff that I end up, you know, short-circuiting everyone around me.
Yes, I know what you're referring to.
Yes, they are I and I am them, yes. Yes, I was really
thank
enjoying
goodness we have a. Thank goodness we have a comfortable agreement now that I can say, okay, you need to stop or slow down because I'm going to explode if you say anything else for a few minutes. And you don't take offense. And we've got that all worked out. I'm very grateful
for
that.
That's right. I'm grateful for it, too, because you know, you were one of my best teachers because, you know, you have permission to say to me, shut your pie hole. And I can say,
thank
yes,
you.
Ma'am, I appreciate that.
But I want to know more about the chakra meditation. Was it, did it work? How did
it's fantastic.
Was it a boy
yep.
or a girl?
It was a little girl. Yeah. Oh, yeah, she was great with it. Her background actually she is not Hindu. She's Sikh, I believe.
Uh-huh.
And so
it
worked out beautifully, yeah. And it's super because her mom is all with the program and has been reading all about it's really super. It's really super. They're not from their Eastern culture, but mom is very, very open-minded and has done a lot of reading about autism spectrum stuff. So it's super, yeah.
I would just guess that you know, that kind of child would very naturally go with that, you know, not even question it, just sort of naturally get it, you know, and go into the zone and find it really helpful without it feeling like a chore or, you know, being forced to do something. I bet they'd enjoy it. That's why
it's
I was asking.
It's funny that you said that because you actually went right there because meditation is part of her culture, even though she doesn't like doing it. She knew just what to do, and I walked her through it, and I basically physically, you know, I touched the crown of her head and I said, I want you to imagine a glowing purple ball of light, you know, and went down through each of the chakras and just very calmly and quietly walked her through it. And it was lovely because her energy just calmed right down. And it was just really great.
It's a great example because a lot of people think they don't like meditation, but what you're describing is a focused meditation. It's really a visualization, a focused visualization that has an element of meditation in it. You know, true classic meditation is about just being completely in the silence. And people who have a lot going on in their brains have a very difficult time doing that. They can't sit still very easily, and it makes them more anxious and the voices in the head or the information or whatever, you know, becomes louder in a way and more difficult. So when you have something to focus on, a visualization or some kind of movement, you know, repetitive movement, then they can really get into it and find it very helpful. So there's so many different forms, thank goodness, that you can choose from, depending on how you're hardwired and what works for you.
Oh, yeah. I'm so grateful because I know for me personally, when I was taught that meditation, that's what I do. And, you know, I can now sit for maybe about 12 minutes and be really quiet. Even if my head's being busy, I just sit there and I just, you know, breathe in through my nose, up through my mouth. I'll start out with a chakra meditation, and then I'll just sit quietly, listen to my breathing, and it's so great because now I almost get into being sleepy, and that's when I know I'm in the zone.
Mm-hmm.
And then things just calm right down, and it's great. And then I feel like a completely different person. And I know personally that you have taught me so many things, and I'm just tickled that I'm almost jealous of all the clients that you're going to have because you have such rich, good stuff. You know?
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Such rich, good
so
stuff.
You. Well, I just love, I love the process. I love the exploration. I love this inner landscape that we all have to explore. You know, it's infinite. It's rich. It's exciting. And it's very, very, very beautiful. And I have to say, the joy, the bliss, the, you know, the rush, the high of it, sounds like a little bit like drugs, but it's better than any of that could ever have been. And since I grew up, went to college in the early 70s, it's a good thing I had some kind of
like
spiritual basis. I was in the theater in New York for many years, so I was around all the temptations, you know, and I think the fact that I had this inner connection and this way to sort of go to this beautiful place, it just kept me safe. It kept me focused, and I didn't even know how much at the time. Because nothing is better than this. So anything I can do to help someone understand their process better or just deal with an issue that's going on. You know, sometimes it's just a simple conversation about dealing with an issue in their lives and handling it emotionally and seeing it from a different perspective and making a new decision about how to handle it. You know, the conversations are always so different, and that's a lot of fun, too.
I think that's the best part. Wendy, you know, you and I could talk all night, but unfortunately, believe it or not, our 30 minutes are up already. Can you give everybody enough already? Can you give everybody your contact information, Wendy?
Sure. My website, again, is www.luminousjoy.com, and there's a contact page there. You can send me an email, but if you don't go there, you can reach me at wendy@luminousjoy.com. And I would love to hear from anybody with feedback or questions, or if you're just curious, feel free to get in touch with me.
Wendy, thank you for being with me tonight. I love you more than my luggage. And
thank you so much for having me. I love being here.
I appreciate it so much, and I hope that you will come back soon.
Thanks. I'd love to.
I really enjoy that. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you again next Monday night at 8 p.m. God bless.